To my mind, it's past time for us to pay attention to what we already know or sense, not just in the outer world of our relationships with others and with our surroundings, but in the interior world of our own thoughts and feelings, aspirations and fears, hopes and dreams. All of us, no matter who we are or where we live, have certain things in common. For the most part, we share the desire to live our lives in peace, to pursue our private yearnings and creative impulses, to contribute in meaningful ways to a larger purpose, to fit in and belong, and be valued for who we are, to flourish as individuals and as families, and as societies of purpose and of mutual regard, to live in individual dynamic balance, which is health, and in a collective dynamic balance, which used to be called the commonweal, which honors our differences and optimizes our mutual creativity, and the possibility of a future free from want and harm and from that which threatens what is most vital to our well-being and to our very being. Such a collective dynamic balance, in my view, would feel a lot like heaven, or at least a lot like being comfortably at home. It is what peace feels like when we really have peace and know peace inwardly and outwardly. It is what being healthy feels like. It is what genuine happiness feels like. It's like being at home in the deepest of ways. Isn't that somehow what we're all claiming we really want? Ironically, such balance is already here at our fingertips at all times, in little ways that are not so little and have nothing to do with wishful thinking, rigid or authoritarian control, or utopias. Such balance is already here when we tune into our bodies and minds and to those forces that move us forward through the day and through the years, namely our motivation and our vision of what is worth living for and what needs undertaking. It's here in the small acts of kindness that happen between strangers and in families and even in times of war between supposed enemies. It is here every time we recycle our bottles and newspapers, or think to conserve water, or act with others to care for our neighborhood, or protect our dwindling wilderness areas and other species with whom we share this planet. It turns out that in the past 30 years, medicine has come to know that the mysterious dynamic balance we call health involves both the body and the mind, and can be enhanced by specific qualities of attention that can be sustaining, restorative, and healing. It turns out that we all have a capacity for a dynamic, vital, sustaining inner peacefulness and well-being, and for a huge, innate, multifaceted intelligence that goes way beyond the merely conceptual. When we mobilize and refine that capacity and put it to use, we are much healthier physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and much happier. Even our thinking becomes clearer, and we are less plagued by storms in the mind. This capacity for paying attention and for intelligent action can be cultivated, nurtured, and refined beyond our wildest dreams if we have the motivation to do so. Doing so is the challenge of our life's time, that is, a chance to make the most of the moments that we actually have. Coming to our senses is the work of no time at all, only of being present and awake here and now. It is also paradoxically a lifetime's engagement. You could say we take it on for life, in every sense of that phrase. Part 1. Meditation. It's not what you think. In 1979, I started a stress reduction clinic. Thinking back to that era, I ask myself now, what stress? So much has our world changed since then. So much has the pace of life increased and the vagaries and the dangers of the world come to our doorstep as never before. If looking squarely at our personal situation and circumstances and finding novel and imaginative ways to work with them in the service of health and healing was important then, in 1979, it is infinitely more important and urgent now, inhabiting as we do a world that has been thrown into heightened chaos and speed in the unfolding of events, even as it has become far more interconnected and smaller. In such an exponentially accelerating era, it's more important and urgent than ever for us to learn to inhabit the timeless and draw upon it for solace and clear seeing. That has been from the start the very core of the curriculum of the stress reduction clinic. I am not speaking of some distant future in which, after years of striving, you might finally attain something, taste the timeless beauty of meditative awareness and all it offers, and ultimately lead a more effective and satisfying and peaceful life. I'm speaking of accessing the timeless in this very moment, because it is always right under our noses, so to speak. And in so doing, to gain access to those dimensions of possibility that are presently hidden from us because we refuse to be present, because we're seduced, entrained, mesmerized, or frightened into the future and the past, carried along in the stream of events and the weather patterns of our own reactions and numbness, attending to, if not obsessing about, what we artificially dub urgent, but losing touch at the same time with what is actually most important, what is in fact vital for our own well-being, for our sanity, and for our very survival. We have made absorption in the future and in the past such an overriding habit that, much of the time, we have no awareness of the present moment at all. As a consequence, we may feel that we have very little, if any, control over the ups and downs of our lives and of our own minds. I'm certainly not suggesting that meditation is always easy or even pleasant. It's simple, but it certainly isn't always easy. It's not easy to string even a few moments together in which to practice formally on a regular basis in a busy life. Never mind remembering that mindfulness is available to us, you might say, informally in any and every unfolding moment of our lives. Mindfulness has a rich and textured capacity to influence the unfolding of our lives. By the same token, it has an equal capacity to influence the larger world within which we are seamlessly embedded, including our family, our work, the society as a whole, and how we see ourselves as a people, what I'm calling the body politic, and the body of the world, of all of us together on this planet. And all this can come about through your own experience of the practice of mindfulness, by virtue of that very embeddedness and the reciprocal relationships between inner and outer and between being and doing.